And welcome to episode one of season two of Digesting Cinema, aka Digesting the Franchise with Aaron and Christina. I am your host, Aaron, and as always, I am joined by my fellow host, Christina. And this year is looking a little bit different for all of us. 2022, the reboot of 2020, I'm calling it. This is the reboot of Digesting Cinema, and we are in franchise mode. What that means is that you'll see us a little bit less, but we'll probably end up talking about more movies this year than last. It'll be kind of interesting to keep track of that as we go here, but I think we probably actually will watch more than 52 movies this year. So we actually made more work for ourselves than less, but you're going to see us less. We're going to be here once a month, but we'll get into all of that and all the details of what this means in a moment. Without any further ado, the reason you're listening, my fellow host, Christina, how are you doing in 2022?
I will say January of 2022 is going so much better than January of 2021. So I have no real complaints and life is good. I'm happy. I'm healthy. And that's all I can be thankful for at this time because we are both COVID survivors up in this house.
Excellent. Excellent. Good news. Good news there. Did you realize we're going to watch more movies this year than last year? Because I just realized that.
No, I mean, maybe not. We'll see. It all depends.
If we do minimum of four, we're going to end up four less than that. Well, I guess not including Digesting the Force, which is really kind of the prequel to what this ended up being. So either way, we are talking about the Indiana Jones franchise this evening, and definitely something that I knew kind of the very bare minimum about going in. I kind of seen the movies growing up, but not really, honestly, and never watched any of them all the way through. I know Raiders of the Lost Ark had to do with Nazis. That was about, we're getting a little preview of how maybe we feel about these movies with that yawn there. Yeah, I mean, I knew Harrison Ford. I knew that Steven Spielberg, not my favorite director in the world, although he has a few movies I really do like. Maybe one or two of them are here. But other than that, it's just like they never quite like grip me. I was like, I know they're like supposed to be like old action adventure movies made in the 80s. So, you know, that's about all I knew about it going in. What were your opinions about Indiana Jones? Was it something you were excited to dig into? Is it just something you're like, I need to watch these?
This is the first time I've ever watched anything with Indiana Jones. I never watched it. I mean, I grew up in a house with all girls, like growing up, these were boy movies. I just never really wanted to watch them. And then it was one of those things where it's like, man, like Indiana Jones is one of these just like classic movies that, you know, you need to see. And it was just like, I just never got around to it. So it was one of those where I was excited that we made it first. I was excited to watch these because I feel like they're like the quintessential like action adventure movies. Like this is what, you know, all of these action movies and these adventure movies are basically based off of. And I knew a little bit, like I knew he didn't like snakes. Mm-hmm. I knew some stuff from like the show at Disney World. But other than that, I didn't really know anything about it until I, you know, watched these four movies.
Yeah, definitely a good point. Also was really excited going into these and was expecting to at least enjoy them like to a pretty decent amount. It's going to be we're going to kind of figure it out as we go each episode, as we always have going back to even last season. You know, we kind of had a structure, but at the same point, each episode kind of would take a little bit of its own. That's going to be the same idea here. Some months we're going to have four movies to talk about. Some months we might have eight or nine movies to talk about. We're not going to go through nine movies even for 15 minutes. That's just like, we're not going to do that. So each episode's going to be a little different here. We've had four movies here. I think it does kind of make sense to just generally go through them and genuinely go through them, both generally and genuinely go through them, and just kind of talk about the overall kind of our overall feelings on the movie, if we're at all aware of any receptions. For the most part with these movies, I'm aware of kind of the critical and like fan reception of them, like, and you know, it's like kind of like there's three movies and the fourth doesn't exist, which we've had that conversation before with Star Wars with a few of the movies where, yes, it's like they were canceled out before watching them. And it's gonna be interesting, I think, talking about, particularly Crystal Skull and how we feel about that one. But we're going to do an IMDb synopsis. We'll rate all of those. So we'll do the synopsis for each of the movies. And we'll start with Raiders and we'll just kind of talk generally about that movie and just our overall thoughts. But before, do you have that synopsis for Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Of course I do. So Raiders of the Lost Ark came out in 1981. And according to IMDb, it says in 1936, archaeologist and adventurer Indiana Jones is hired by the United States government to find the Ark of the Covenant before Adolf Hitler's Nazis can obtain its awesome powers. Its awesome powers was written in an IMDb synopsis. I'm going to take the lead on this. This movie is just as trash as that synopsis. People literally rate this movie as like their numbers one and two of all time. Mm-hmm. And I literally feel free to like slide into my DMs and let me know what you're watching. Because what I watched was me falling asleep. I watched the inside of my eyelids because this movie was a snooze fest. I did not want to actually finish watching these movies because this movie could not have been more boring. Quintessential action adventure. What that did anything even happen? I don't even think I remember anything from this movie besides wishing it was over.
Well, I'm not that, I'll say first and foremost, I'm not that far off of your kind of opinion here. I can understand at a certain level, a very surface level, what people like about these movies. So the set design of the movies and everything is like in them being on like locations for a lot of it. That's really, really cool. You know, essentially looks like, and I'm just going to put out my positives because I don't have a lot of positives on this movie, to be honest. Like, I just kind of know the general kind of reasons. And it kind of reminds me similar of our conversation with Payson back on the Blade Runner episode, where like he was describing like there's matte paintings everywhere and this great music by Vangelis and the performance by Harrison Ford. Again, is it a performance or is it a lack of a performance? Like, I feel like, again, I don't think he's that great of an actor. I think you agree with me on that.
I definitely do.
Yeah, but the set design's good. I think a lot of people like the score. I didn't like the score. So I don't know if that's like blasphemy to say about John Williams, but I found the score to be really repetitive of Star Wars. It just seems like they recycled Star Wars theme. It seems like Indiana Jones was just like Han Solo, but as an archaeologist. And instead of Han Solo in space, we have Han Solo in the jungle being afraid of snakes.
I think John Williams creates, you know, like the Emperor's March in Star Wars and creates this Indiana Jones theme. And they're both iconic. And I think the reason they're iconic is because it's just the same song.
French horn.
But even if the songs don't sound the same, they are used so repetitively throughout the movie. Like, you have nothing else to offer with this. At least, honestly, by like the third and fourth movie, they changed up the tone a little bit and like made sometimes it was more subtle. But the first two, the score was played exactly the same, his like theme song, the whole freaking movie. Anytime he did anything, it was the same exact thing.
And when it wasn't being played, it'd be like lightly being like hinted at getting played. Like, it'd be like, da, 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 da. It's like, no, stop. Like, we.
Right.
It's like we got
didn't
it.
Do anything. Calm like, down.
And I really did notice that. And usually, when I notice a score, it's for good reasons. But I just didn't really like the score that much. I was kind of surprised at how brutal it kind of was. I'll give it that. You know, as a kid, if I was watching and seeing like arrows sticking out of the back of somebody, you know, and like stuff like that, like it was pretty hardcore. The first two movies, honestly, were pretty violent. The second movie was like more violent than the first, actually.
Yeah.
And I was surprised by that. I do wonder if I'm going to say this a lot this year or not with this, but I do think if I saw these movies as a kid, I would have loved them. I will say that. I just think that I'm an adult now. I'm kind of very aware of a lot of the references. And I mean, we went back to last year, our final movie of the year was The Godfather. I saw those references elsewhere, and those movies were still incredible to me. And like, I just was like, even though I'm aware of these references, I'm aware of the tropes, like that still works. So that argument doesn't work here. Like, you're aware of, I don't know. I mean, I was like, this is an adventure movie. Maybe I just don't like adventure movies that much, because it's like everybody and their mother is like, this is the best adventure movie of all time. We've heard about Raiders forever and ever, right? Like, it's just, And this is, you know, I love Star Wars. Like, so that kind of adventure worked. And that was the year before this. George Lucas produced Raiders. That's why I'm bringing it up,
I just feel like George Lucas is honestly the issue, because I think he just, like, likes to beat things with the dead horse. Like, I feel like this is his idea to just keep using the score over and over again.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he just recycles his own ideas and just different things. Honestly, I don't really know if Harrison Ford is talented, because I feel like he just shows up and just reads the script. Like, he could literally care less about actually being on this.
Yeah, like, is he acting robotic or is he robotic in Blade Runner, for example? Like, it's like, that's his best role, is where it's like, the big debate is he a human? And it helps, like, how he acts, because it's like, he doesn't act like a human. He acts like a...
Is that acting?
Right. I mean, in this, he's, you know, what did you think of Indiana Jones? Like, what did you think of, like, the character of Indiana Jones? Like, how he was with Marion?
I don't think the character of Indiana Jones, like, made sense. I thought
it's like a teacher, but he's also like a super spy guy, kind of. Yeah,
it was like very weird how in every movie too, like, I could have written the fourth movie by the time I saw it, because it's like Indiana Jones goes on this like crazy adventure, and then it's like, oh, we have to make sure we flash back to him actually teaching, just to remind everyone that he's just a normal guy. He's a nerd in a suit that likes archaeology, and then like gets pulled into this like crazy adventure. I mean, the man can't even throw a punch. I mean, the fight scenes in this movie, especially the early one, I'm like, maybe it's 1981, so I'm gonna, like, again, I'm 33 years old, I'm seeing this as a grown adult woman in 2022, so
I've seen movies from the 60s and 70s with good fighting choreography,
but
though.
It's like, I don't but have it's the like, nostalgia, I don't, you know what I mean, like, I don't have any of that, so
and so just, much of the and so much of the argument is like, it's supposed to be a 30s serial. It's like, okay, well, maybe I don't like 30s serials then. I acknowledge, like, this is really, I mean, the first movie is essentially like the good guys versus the Nazis, like, again, which as an adult, that's like a little bit much and a little bit over the top, like, for it to be like Indiana Jones is like defeating the Nazis. It's kind of one of the reasons I didn't like the second movie at all. And this is going to be kind of, let's talk about the first and second movie kind of together, because the second movie was our least favorite, I think, both. And it's weird because it's like a prequel, takes place like the year before. Like,
you would never know that it was a prequel unless you remembered that Raiders of the Lost Ark took place in 1936.
Yeah.
These movies are not cohesive. There's literally no reference to any of the other events of the movies, except for maybe the fourth one where, like, Marion comes back. There's no reference. You don't have to watch any of these in any particular order. You can watch one and never watch it again. There's no cliffhanger. There's no continuing story. The only thing that is a franchise about this is that Harrison Ford wears that same stupid fucking hat for four movies.
Yeah, we get that song in the bullwhip.
Man, I am like heated, but I did not. This, the first movie,
you're disappointed. Like, you were expecting,
people made this seem like this is the greatest movie of all time. I've waited my entire life.
People say that all the time. People say all the time it's the greatest movie of all time.
So slow, and I was so bored. Yeah. And I mean, obviously, the beginning's the iconic scene where he does the switch. Everybody knows that part, and you're like,
runs,
oh my
from
god,
the ball.
Like, when I watched it, I was like, oh my god, this is the movie where this happens, and I was like so excited, and like Alfred Molina dies right away, so I'm like,
yeah, Alfred Molina's in there, young Alfred Molina.
I mean, honestly, the part of that movie that was the most badass to me is when the one guy with the glasses goes to interrogate him, and you thought he had like the nunchucks, and then he just like swings it into his hanger and like hangs his coat up, and I was like, yo, that's fucking badass. Like, you just, like, what an intimidation tactic. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's fucking baller. I got to get me one of those in case I need to intimidate anybody. And that's really what I took from the movie, because I was like, the love story was stupid. He's a fucking creep.
It's a creepy love story. It's a very creepy love story.
Right, because, like, they were together when she was a child, basically. Yeah. I don't really know what that was about.
Yeah.
And he's not nice to her, so he's just an asshole. The first movie, I don't even care.
Yeah, I think there was some cool, like, special effects, like, once the grills, like, opened and things like that, or whatever, the Ark of the Covenant, whatever it is. But, yeah, overall, in the second movie, I appreciate it wasn't Nazis. So way to go there, but it's like weird cult, quasi racist, like problematic, short round, all sorts of. I just like was, I'm not sure what, it didn't seem like a Steven Spielberg movie, but it didn't work at all. It was just like weirdly dark and like a smaller scale story that I just didn't quite follow and understand. IMDb synopsis.
So this is the Temple of Doom. Temple of Doom takes place in 1935. So again, this is a low key prequel that they don't actually really establish unless, like, I guess you remembered the years. Indiana Indiana Jones arrives in India, still a part of the British Empire, and is asked to find a mystical stone. He then stumbles upon a secret cult committing enslavement and human sacrifices in the catacombs of an ancient palace.
I mean, I guess that's what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this movie started out so much better, where it kind of just like picked up and like you had some more characters.
It was darker. It was more violent. It was like...
And yeah, but then it just like got off the deep... I mean, we really touched into like, I mean, endangering children. I mean, and even both movies, the first two, like, you know, where people are just like getting sucked into like their skeletons and it was like some
existential.
Like grotesque stuff. I mean, this movie...
It seemed angry. Like, usually Spielberg movies are a little more tame and
lighter.
Yeah, and this was not... Talked with Bill Cariola a little bit about this movie, and he informed me that Steven Spielberg was going through a divorce during this movie, and that adds up. Like, feels divorcey. Feels like this was divorced.
Yeah.
Directed by a divorcee.
This one was a little bit longer too, and I feel like so this one was an hour and 58 minutes. I think the first one was like 47. They each get like a little bit longer, and to be honest, I feel like they're all about 30 to 45 minutes too long, because it's just like they just drag on forever. Like, even towards the end of this movie, they finally get out of the cave, and then it's like, oh my god, then we have to deal with all the bridge bullshit. Like, you're out. The movie is over. We have to do another thing. And then we got my poor dude from the Goonies. I mean, I freaking love that kid. Yeah. And like, what was the point of him? I love you, Indy. I love you, Indy. And like, snaps him out of like being bewitched. I don't even know. This movie, these two, I was not, I don't know if it's the 80s. I don't know. But at this point, I'm convinced Harrison Ford is not talented. And I'm not sure I liked anything of Spielberg pre-Jurassic Park. Like, Jurassic Park, To Catch Me.
Oh, Jaws?
I've never seen Jaws all the way, but I also think I would find that to be boring, to be honest.
I think you would like Jaws. I think you would be like, this is pretty good. We're not going to be digesting the Jaws franchise.
My Spielberg is like Jurassic Park, To Catch Me If You Can, is like peak Spielberg for me.
Stop.
And then I don't want any more of him.
Honestly, I'm not going to be the Spielberg defender here. I've talked about on a few episodes. I do love Minority Report, as we discussed earlier last season. Catch Me If You Can, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Spielberg, he can really make a good picture. These two didn't work for me exactly. And I mean, Short Round, I'll give him credit. Like, he wasn't a completely useless kid. Like, I mean, he saved Indiana a ton in the movie. So, like, I'll give him that. Like, he's very useful. But essentially, Indiana Jones, I think at this point, maybe Spielberg was thinking, like, we're just going to make throwaway movies with him. He's going to be like our James Bond. Here's another one with Temple of Doom. Because I definitely think that maybe the studio wanted to keep making him. And this was Spielberg's first sequel ever. So that was kind of interesting. And he didn't do it great, but ended up coming back for a third. Last Crusade, 1989, a few years after Temple of Doom.
You and I both agreed. This one was my personal favorite out of all four of them. So we will finally start saying nice things about them. But the first two movies just did not work for me at all. But
didn't work for us either one of us. Yeah.
So the third movie, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. In 1938, after his father, Professor Henry Jones Sr., goes missing while pursuing the Holy Grail, Professor Henry Indiana Jones Jr. finds himself up against Adolf Hitler's Nazis again to stop them from obtaining powers. Here's what I will say first. One, finding out that his real name wasn't Indiana was like a, what the fuck? That was wild.
I had no idea about that.
And I just feel like the writers, like, bro, just because it takes place in like 1938 doesn't mean you actually have to involve Nazis. There are six other continents that the Nazis never touched.
Yeah, no. Could have gone there. They were just like, you know what? They didn't like when we didn't have Nazis in two. Nazis are back, baby. That's what people are complaining about, a lack of
Nazis. Like, it would have been totally fine if the Nazis weren't involved. Like, it was still a good adventure story.
Yeah, you know, you gotta have the Nazis. You gotta have them. I'm fine. I'll allow it here.
But I loved this one. I think the pacing on this one was so much better. But I think, like, you wanted to root for the character more. Like, they really took it, the opening scene being young Indiana Jones, played by the late, great, would have been the fucking actor of his generation if he would have lived longer, River Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just...
That should have been the second movie.
Right, because it made you...
That should make it a real prequel.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sometimes it's hard to get attached to like the grown man character when he kind of is a little unlikable. But you
when
see
he's like
that,
juvenile.
Right. When you see boy Indiana Jones, like, just passionately be like, this is not for you. This is history. It belongs in a museum. This is what things are meant to do. And like, he still was brave and he had some good instincts. And you kind of see that that's how it was formed. You see his relationship with his father. I mean, come on, adding Sean Connery to the movie. That's fucking great.
Yeah, but yeah, that was
this
great.
Movie just like was a little bit lighter. It was faster. I liked the story better. Like, I think this mystery and trying to find the Holy Grail, and I think him having just other people to play off of that, like, wasn't
it was
his
pretty similar to the first movie. It was pretty similar to the first movie, if I were being honest.
Yeah, but what, it was like just better.
Right, because there's more characters. While you say it was lighter, the pacing was quicker. I don't think it was necessarily lighter, though. I'd say it was a little heavier, especially for me, I guess, like the father relationship being such a central part of the movie. Those always kind of get me on a level where like I'm like concerned I'm not quite going to connect to it or get it on the same sort of respect, or it's like going to make me like depressed because it's like all about like a father-son relationship. I'm like, oh, I don't have that. Never did. So like that, honestly, like was something I was aware of as a kid and just kind of figured I'm not going to really get this or want this. Like, I mean, it's just, it's going to make me just kind of wish I had that. Yet as an adult, I can kind of handle this much more. As a kid, though, those kind of things in movies would be distracting. So I'm glad I didn't see this movie until I was a little bit older. And I did really enjoy the relationship with Sean Connery and Harrison Ford. I get it. They don't sound alike. I didn't care. I bought him as father and son. I really did. And I thought it was great.
I really like this one where like the love interest in the beginning, Elsa, turns out to like double cross him. So it just kind of changed it up a little bit because I never really believed his love stories. And he was always just like a creep. Like even at the end of Temple of Doom where he does the whip around the blonde and like brings her back. I'm like, oh, you're such a creepo. Like you're not that great. You don't treat women with respect. I just don't like, you're not, I understand like they, a lot of times they do love stories in this to like appeal to women. Like you're not appealing to me. Like I'm not falling for his antics. Like I am a independent woman with self-respect. Like, I don't have time for this. Maybe if I was younger, I would have been like, oh my God, you're so great. If someone whips me around, like, get the fuck out of here. But yeah, I just really liked this one. I feel like it was so much nicer to really see him have like people to play off of that weren't like these like one-off assistants that he would like pretended he cared about or like a little kid.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at some point it's like, we're here for the adventure. We don't need to have the like tangible relationship kind of aspect, especially when it's kind of thrown away anyways. So, and they do kind of replace it by, basically, Indiana's going and searching for his father who disappeared. And like, that's like his way of being reeled back into it in this movie. I thought that that's a pretty good premise to have there. And it's like a good kind of play on like the classic of like the parent trying to keep their kid in line. It was more like the kid trying to keep the parent in line here. And like, we learn all about Indiana's name, where it comes from. That was
because he kept calling him Junior. And I was like, well, that doesn't make sense because this guy's name is Henry.
Right,
so like this guy's, if he's Junior, then who's Indiana and who's Henry? Yeah, who's and then you find out that Indiana's the dog.
Yep. And that's, and he's the junior to the dog. So, you know, that's just how he feels about his...
Well, his name is Henry. His legal name is Henry Jones Jr.
But he's named after the dog.
I think he just took the name of the dog as his own name. And his dad was like, that's fucking weird. Like, we named the dog that. Like, why did you take that as your name?
But he also was... I feel like he was also okay with referring to his son as his dog's name, too. I feel like that was kind of a little bit of a... But, yeah, I mean, over this movie... Definitely noticed the budget increase for sure. I mean, it looked a lot kind of sharper, the production of it. There's some really cool effects, like when they're aging, once the like Fountain of Youth or whatever is opened. I don't have the exact names, but like when they show that guy like rapidly aging, like so quickly, like that was pretty cool. Like,
yeah,
there's some really good, really good practical effects in these movies. All the movies, the production of them, I get it. It's just like the stuff written on the paper, how it's said, how it's acted, the story beats, not exactly, especially in the first two. And in this one, I think they worked a lot better. I think, you know, it is retreading some familiar ground, and maybe that's why, like, they're having their second go and it works a little better. But yeah, I thought it worked much better. I really was interested in the dynamic, the father-son dynamic in the movie. I thought it was, like, really effectively portrayed throughout it and helped explain some aspects of Indiana Jones and like his character, but you know.
Yeah, I think it established like actual character growth because we don't really know anything about him. Like, you know, he doesn't like snakes. he seems kind of fearless, but like, I don't know, there wasn't like character development. It was just like, all right, he's just going on an adventure. And I guess, you know, he's going to punch somebody eventually. But it's not like it's, you know, when you see like these superhero movies where it's like, well, they have powers, like he's just a regular guy. So like, we have to know more about him as the regular guy. Like, in by the third movie, we figure out that he has this integrity of like why he fights so hard for these things. I don't know. I just felt like you just got to know him more as like a human also, and not just like watching him go on an adventure. Like you felt more a part of it than just like somebody just watching this guy have an adventure and just like
there's like his life. There's like some depth to the movie.
Yes.
Like, yeah, no, I agree. To up to now, like the first two are definitely much more of a slog. This one, even though it was the longest of the three so far, I thought it had the best pacing and things like that. Yeah, Allison Duty playing Elsa, particular standout too for me. I thought she was like a really good foil. And just, you know, like this one had a lot of like the like kind of classic tropes, but I just feel like they're a little more like creatively done than Raiders. I'm just surprised like most people say Raiders is their favorite of these first three. They usually go Raiders, this one, then Temple of Doom. I'd say of these first three, and not necessarily giving away my rating on the fourth at all, this one would be my favorite so far of the ones we saw. So, you know, I wanted to see more of Sean Connery by the end of it and Indy, but this is the end of Sean Connery. He's one and done. How did you kind of feel about that? Did you know kind of about him just, you know, not making it a reappearance? Like, are you okay with him just being in one movie?
I don't really need Sean Connery in more things, but I mean, I feel like Sean Connery was always weird like that.
Yeah.
Like I feel like he thinks he's like doing people a favor. Like, I'll appear in your film.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So is there anything else you want to talk about from the third movie that kind of stood out to you?
I just really liked it. I thought this one was a lot of fun. I just liked the story. This was definitely, the pacing went so much better, even though this was the longest one. This one was my favorite. So I'm ready to jump forward 20 years in time, according to the movie timeline, but about, what was this one, 1989? Yeah, but in 20 years in time in real life. So it was worked out.
Yep.
So this one is now taking place in 1957. So we're done with the Nazis. But what other big event is happening in 1957? That's right. We have an issue with Russia. So in 1957, archaeologist and adventurer Dr. Henry Indiana Jones Jr. is called back into action and becomes entangled in a Soviet plot to uncover the secret behind mysterious artifacts known as the Crystal Skulls. And in this movie, I guess Cate Blanchett forgot that she was a famous actress and needed the money. I have no idea. But I will just say, I freaking loved Shia LaBeouf at this point in my life. Like, he was the fucking man. And for this
Mutt Williams. Before he
like went off the deep end, I was a hardcore. I loved the Transformer movies. I freaking loved Shia LaBeouf and even Stevens. Yeah. So, like, I was a big hardcore Shia LaBeouf supporter. So I was really excited to watch him in this because I just loved him. And honestly, I really loved him in this movie. And I know that makes me terrible, but I don't even care.
And I liked Cate Blanchett in this movie. So first and foremost, this movie takes itself the least serious of the four Indiana Jones movies. By far, not even close. And I love that. I think that when you're not exactly like super invested in taking in seriously, when they decide to take this turn, like I'm okay with the one that takes, to me, this one takes the biggest swings. Plenty of misses. It looks really weird, like extremely fake, like more fake than like usual fake for like this kind of time period where it's like the first shot of the movie is like CGI, like groundhogs or something.
Yes.
Like, right. Yes. And it's just like, it just like lets you know right away, like Steven Spielberg thinks CGI is like real and he's going to use CGI for everything in this movie. So first of all, there's CGI everywhere. At all times in this movie, like nothing is real, including probably the face on Harrison Ford. But like,
that was real because he looked old AF.
Yeah, right. But like, it's like when they showed the CGI like groundhogs right away, I'm like, oh hell yeah, we've got like super mid 2000s adventure movie. Oh, it's just
like the Phantom Menace all over again.
yep. So I'm like, all right, like that sets my expectations. And it just doesn't ever like raise. It is like they took a serial comic book from the 30s, like a super drenched colored one, and ripped it from the pages and put it on the screen. It didn't look real. It looked like it was taken off a comic book panel, essentially. The colors were so saturated. The acting and the line delivery was so over the top. And I just like had a great time with it. I thought it was great, actually. Like, you know, it's like you could, Indiana Jones's friend, is his name Mac? Is that the guy's name? I think like the, or like not even his friend, but like is basically his partner or whatever. Like you can tell he's just like always in it for like the money. And like, he's always just like switching sides. He switches sides like six times in the movie. It's always just like, who can give me the better deal? And I'm just like, that's fine. Like this, it's like, this guy's a cartoon. He's not even a real character, but he's interesting. And it's like, yeah, it's just like, yeah, it's like people don't talk like this. People don't, exactly. These aren't people. This is just, it's ridiculous. There's aliens involved in the movie. There's just like the end of the movie is just like all sorts of bonkers where they're like, they're not here for treasure, they're here for knowledge. I was just like, oh, fucking yes.
Was it supposed to be like a shock that these were aliens? Because as soon as you see the skull, you're like, that looks like an alien.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a super cartoon alien skull too. It's just like, it's like, what is this? Like, it's elongated alien head. It was supposed to be a shock to them for sure. But yeah, no, Kate Blanchett, her like Russian accent was just, I loved it.
I want to know.
You must stop him. Like, it's just, I was all aboard. It was so bad. Like, the super Russian, like, henchman spy guy was, like, dressed up at the beginning as, like, an American. You're like, those are Russians dressed up as Americans. How did these people not realize, like, the guards? But it's like, that's the movie we're in. Bad Russians coming to get the Americans.
This is around being sick of everyone's shit. I think Harrison Ford being sick that he had to make this movie, because he definitely, like, his acting was pretty shitty in the first three. His acting was terrible in this. So, he literally just read the page. I don't even think he was off script. I bet you he looked at it right before and did his scene, and then they said cut. Like,
no, he probably didn't even look. He probably said, tell me my line, and then I'll say it. Like, he probably didn't even read it. And again, I wasn't that committed to these movies. I wasn't taking that serious. So for me, it's like, that's the kind of commitment and pacing I was looking for from these movies. Like, be aware, like, God damn, people take these movies too serious. These movies are a joke. Yes. And this one is the only one that seems to get that joke. Like, for real.
At one point, Shia LaBeouf is straddling between two cars, gets a nut shot, and then Tarzan swings through the jungle. That's cinema, people.
Exactly. That is cinema. Exactly. This is not a documentary. Like, these are not believable characters. Let's not put them in believable situations. Throw the fucking aliens in there. Absolutely throw aliens in there. Hell yes. You know, and it's just like, make it look faker. They did. Like, the opening to me with the Elvis song and like racing, like all that. I'm just like, this is what, like, the energy and the vibe I was expecting from all the movies. And the first two particularly were just dry. They were like, I know what you're going for. I'm not enjoying this. Like, this is executed well. Great. You're executing something well that I'm not really interested in. The dynamic with Sean Connery and like the concluding of the trilogy, I think all helped it for the third one. And this one, to me, fires on all cylinders. And I just had such a great time with this. This is the one of the four I would go back and rewatch. Maybe it's not my favorite. Maybe it's not the best one. Or maybe it's not the best one, I should say. But it is the only one of the four I would go back and watch. I will say that right now. Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull is the only of the four Indiana Jones movies I will ever rewatch by choice in my life.
Yeah, I mean, I think it helps because, you know, 2008, so it was a little bit more modern. But like, come on, when Marion comes back, like the quips with them are so good.
Yeah.
But it's like, they made up this whole story. And this is my big issue with this franchise as a whole, is that it's not cohesive, like, at all. So you have this movie that's made in 2008, that's at this point 20 years since the third movie, since the trilogy concludes. Mm-hmm. And he references his adventures he took that were not seen in any of the three movies.
So, like, yeah, we just have to like assume.
They gave zero fucks about fan service to like bring up shit we've already seen. Right. Bring back the girl from the first movie that supposedly he was supposed to marry her and then didn't, but then they wound up having a kid that she hid from him, and then they wind up getting married at the end anyway, even though, like, I didn't even buy that they liked each other in the first movie.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, they did, apparently. This was made for people who are like bringing their girlfriend or bringing their family members who haven't seen the other movies and just want, like, Exactly. That's great. That's what I liked about it. Like,
but I feel like you shouldn't be making sequels. You should not go into the fourth installment of essentially a 20 plus year franchise and be totally fine because they don't actually reference anything that happened in the three prior movies. Like, so you're saying any background knowledge.
Like, they almost could have made this just a different movie, not call it Indiana Jones and been fine.
Absolutely, because it had literally nothing to do with him.
I really do wonder if they just had a script and they're like, let's make a couple extra zeros at the end of this box office and call it Indiana Jones. Because otherwise, it really doesn't seem like an Indiana Jones movie compared to the other movies. Like, the character, the action in it, like, the motivations, and then the aliens. Like, none of that. I mean, I get they're doing, like, supernatural, you know, angel type of shit and like found a, but those are all like kind of rooted in history and like rooted a little bit in realness. This is just like, yeah, this doesn't seem like an Indiana Jones movie, which is maybe another reason why it was one of my favorite Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I would go back and revisit this eventually. I do think it falls into that it's so bad, it's good category. While Raiders and Temple of Doom for me are just like, they're just not good. They're not like so bad. Like, they were like, I can objectively say that they're just not that good or interesting to me. So they're not even fun enough to like, this is so bad it's good, which is not an easy thing to do. It really isn't. And no, that wasn't the intention of them making it. I don't care. Like, it's the result I had watching it. I was shocked, and it was such a breath of fresh air after the, even after Last Crusade, which was still pretty samey to like Raiders at the end of the day. Like, this was a different adventure. It looked different. Everybody was putting their most hammy performance forward. And, like, it was so bad, it was good. So, yeah, I mean, it was a unexpected, like, pleasant end to the franchise for me. And, you know, I think that from here, we can kind of get into our ratings, and then we'll get into a discussion for next week of our franchise that we're doing next month, I should say. The way that the ratings are going to go, we're going to rate all of the movies and then do our average. So we're going to start with Raiders and work our way through the four here. I'm going to go ahead and start on Raiders. I'm probably going to be easier on this movie than Christina. I didn't hate it. I just was thoroughly disappointed by it from what I was expecting. And to me, I think that I respect it and everything like that. Production wise, it was cool. And, you know, there were some good moments, but overall, it was just kind of boring. I gotta be honest, I'm giving it a 3 out of 5. I do think it's a little better than average, and I don't think much better than that. I'm probably being generous there, but 3 out of 5 for me, I'm gonna give it just over a 50%. I just can't quite say it's like worse than Deep Blue Sea type of stuff, but like it's not great to me. So 3 out of 5 for Raiders.
Ugh, to me, this movie is just like forgettable. And I'm going to preface this by saying that I was a lazy piece when it came to this. And we have a DVD player in our bedroom, and we have a DVD player that I have to plug into the TV in the living room. And I just, honest to God, didn't feel like having to unplug shit and plug shit in. So I watched all four of these movies in my bed. So I don't know if that like made me a little less interested because I was super comfy and like I would rather fall asleep.
No. But a movie in your bed can still be good.
I will say that this one, I remember Temple of Doom more, but I feel like for all the wrong reasons. This movie to me was just like forgettable. The parts I do remember though, like, were fine. You know, I'm not like I watched something and I was like, oh, I hate this. My biggest issue with the first movie is that I just think it's boring and I don't really remember anything, and it was just so slow and it just like just wasn't for me. So I'm gonna give this one 2.5.
Okay, all right. So first movie is a 2.75. that is for Raiders of the Lost Ark, a 2.75.
Oh, I know, man, I can't wait for people to come after us. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, I probably should have kept my tweet silent. I kind of let it out of the bag a little bit. So people will be a little bit ready with their pitchforks and torches. 2.75 out of 5 for Raiders. Even for me, that's rough. That is a rough rating. But hey, These are our ratings. These wait are until our feelings you, about the
wait
movies.
Until Temple of Doom.
Yeah, Temple of Doom. Go ahead and you can kind of lead us with your thoughts and ratings to start.
Oh, dear God. Just when I thought this one was going to be better, I was just like, this was just bad. And I feel like I don't know what they were going for with this. And I just feel like it was very insulting to the Indian culture.
To a lot of cultures, women, Indian culture.
Yeah. And I know that like there have been movies that have been made that have taken places in other country and have shown the living conditions. Like it brought me to like how Slumdog Millionaire was. And I didn't take Slumdog Millionaire as like an offensive point of view as much as it was just, this is just how some people live. It would be like filming in America and going to like a rough city in a rough, you know, a rough area in this country. And it's just like, this is just how these people live. And it's not, you know, just are making a mockery of their situation or taking like a stereotype and exploiting it. And I feel like that's what they did. And I'm like very shocked this movie hasn't come up in any sort of like cancel culture or been like an issue.
I think it has, honestly. Like, I think it's just like been kind of pushed away, but
I just the storyline was gross. I didn't like the child enslavement, and it was just,
that was weird.
I really didn't like this movie. This was definitely one that I just wanted it to freaking end, and this just seemed like it went on forever. When I give the last one a 2.5, I'm gonna give this one a 1.5.
1.5 out of 5 for Temple of Doom. I echo a lot of your statements there. It was just kind of gross. I do kind of give it credit. I mean, it was like dark. As if I was like a little boy, I'd seen this, I would have been like, I'm not supposed to be watching this. I like it a little bit more. I'm an adult now. And so to me, it kind of felt weird and like kind of creepy to want to sneak this into what's essentially a kid's movie, or it's supposed to be in some ways. So maybe that's my own expectations. But yeah, I didn't love this one either. I did like that it wasn't Nazis they're going against. So like that gave it a little bit of a boost for me. But yeah, I mean, this one was the bottom of the franchise and not really one that I'm hoping I remember for a long time. So I'm actually going to give it a 2 out of 5. So not much higher here. 1.75. Oh, so far we're in 2.25 territory or so. So let's see if we can kind of bring it up here. I think we will. I'll go into Last Crusade first here. This was technically either the second or best movie. I personally think it was the best movie of the four. I think that Sean Connery dynamic was so needed and made Harrison Ford seem like a better actor as a result. You surrounded him with a lot more talent in this movie. I think that the increased budget definitely helped the production a little bit more and everything like that. So I think they kind of figured out how they wanted to tell their Indiana Jones movie and they ended the trilogy really satisfying. So this one to me, I liked it quite a bit. It's going to be a 3.5 out of 5 for me. Still, like, it was good. I see what they're doing. I respect it, but I'm not going back to this. And for me, like, most of the time, if I'm not going back and it's not, like, a heavy movie, I can't really rate it much higher than a 3.5. Like, that just is kind of where I stand. But 3.5 out of 5.
I agree that this was also my favorite one. I really liked this one. I finally felt like connected to the characters. I thought it was fun to like find out what his real name is. And it's kind of like after you watch all those movies, that's the kind of stuff that I like from this, where like in a franchise where you get like those cheese ball moments. And River Phoenix was great, even though he's only in it for a little bit. I could have gone for a whole River Phoenix movie, just throwing it out there. But yeah, I'm also going to give this one a 3.5. This one was my favorite one. I thought this one was a lot of fun. I just really liked the dynamic.
All right. So that's a 3.5. We're coming up a little bit here. And then the final one, Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. You said both of our favorites was Last Crusade. Your favorite was Last Crusade. My favorite was this one. But again, it's the only one I would rewatch. It's the only one that, to me, I really am going to be talking about. And part of why I'm talking about it is because when I bring it up, it's like a swear word with people. Like, it's like a curse. It's like something that was never to happen. And it's just not that bad, people. It really is not. I think that people really are connected to their nostalgia here, and that plays a strong role. It's like, I can't believe people are like, yeah, the fourth movie just doesn't exist. And I think it's way better than Temple of Doom, if anything else. So I get that's a low bar. I think Shia LaBeouf is unfairly maligned, and I am a Shia LaBeouf fan. I think he was perfectly good in this movie. Cate Blanchett, I will take any role that she does, and this is proof of it right here. You know, Marion coming back, I think, was a cool little nod. Harrison Ford didn't want to be there, and that's just like fucking funny to me. Like, it's just like, that's like real. It's so, doesn't take itself serious finally, which is just like nice. Every other Indiana Jones movie takes itself so serious, and it's just like, this is not that serious, bro. And this movie finally is like, this is not that serious. And I love that. I think that's great. Maybe I like it for the wrong reasons, but it's a 4 out of 5 for me, baby. 4 out of 5 for Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. Yeah, I'll give it a 4 out of 5.
Oh my God, I can't give it that high, but this was a lot of fun though. And I just love that they like finally brought like aliens and like the other ones.
Yeah, too. they swung for the fences here. This is a 50s B movie after the 30s. I prefer the 50s.
They're so deeply rooted in like history and mythology, and this one's like, fuck it, aliens.
Aliens, bitch. This is like aliens. The height of ancient aliens was around this time and everything. Like, this is what 2009 Indiana Jones is, baby.
Like Twilight.
Russia. Russia, watch out for Putin. We got the Russians. Fuck Putin. Like, this is just cultural zeitgeist. A finger on the pulse. Everyone was
about to get the fucking swine flu. Yep. Twilight was all the rage. They were like, bitches love this shit.
This is a time capsule. This movie's a time capsule.
It's fucking great. I can't give it 4 stars because that would be literally insane. But I'm going to give it 3.
All right. Hey. That means it is tied with Last Crusade for our favorite Indiana Jones movie at 3.5. Real quick, I'll add up the total, and that will get us our average for the overall franchise. But I will say the last two movies definitely helped bring up the average score. You're lucky it wasn't just the first two, everybody, because otherwise we'd be under a 2.5, I think, rating. But with these four, we ended up at about 2.875. We'll round it up to a 3, I guess. Should we just round it up to a 3? Should we be nice?
Yeah, we'll be nice.
Okay, so we're going to give it... It is a 3 out of 5 franchise. So our first franchise on Digestive... I'm kind of shocked. I wouldn't have expected a 3 out of 5 before, but honestly, I think it makes sense with our ratings. I'm quite okay with seeing a 3.5 for Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, though. It is a 77% on Rotten Tomato. When it came out...
You people, that movie's great.
When it came out, the critics liked it. 3 out of 4 critics liked it when it came out, and then like, you're not supposed to like it. And we had this come up with Solo, I feel like, when we watched Solo, and we love Solo. It's like, but you're not supposed to like Solo. So we didn't know you weren't supposed to. I guess we didn't get the memo you're not supposed to like Crystal Skull, because we both just enjoyed it.
We're supposed to like the first two. Guess what? We didn't. So
right. Whatever. If you're looking for the same opinions, they're not going to be here this week or any week. So I think that we worked our way through it. We figured it out. And I think it ended up being a pretty cool discussion. But we do have one more discussion, and it's next month's recommendation. I tried my hardest to pitch for romance. There are no romantic franchises, apparently. Like, people either get together or they break up, and there's just not that, like, will they, won't they for five Aaron, movies.
Yeah, you definitely, I looked everywhere. You are the hopeless romantic. He's like, it's Valentine's Day month. Should we do something with love? And I'm like, no, fuck it. Let's do something where a lot of people die, and a lot of people die in a hard way.
So that, I think, could be only one franchise. And I guess we're deciding, we're going with the Die Hard franchise. There are, believe it or not, I believe, what, 5 movies with the Die Hard?
Have you seen all 5? I've only seen the first 3.
I've only seen the first 3. So we are going into uncharted territory here. I love the first one, love the second one, love the third one, and was told not to watch the other ones. So we're going to find out this upcoming month.
You know that means we're going to love them, because all the movies we're told not to watch, they don't exist in the franchise, wind up being rated a 3.5.
Right, apparently. So, you know, love dies hard, and so that's going to be our franchise for the month of February, starring Bruce Willis and many others that we'll find out along the way. I think Justin Long ends up being his son, which should be bizarre and weird. And yeah, we'll just find out the rest of it as we go. I'm looking forward to revisiting these. I've revisited the first one quite a bit. It's a Christmas movie, so you revisit it.
Yeah, I watch it every Christmas.
But the other two, I don't quite as much. And I have a very funny story revolving around Die Hard with a Vengeance that I will tell next week on the podcast. So you'll definitely want to tune in for that, if nothing else. But Christina, anything else coming up for you? Anything going on with you? Or are you just kind of being a normal person again? I mean, the Schmodown.
No, my Schmodown season is over.
And we don't want to say the career is over yet.
My looking rocky. My Schmodown career is definitely over.
Okay. Yeah, you didn't make the cut of like 10 people.
It was super fun while it lasted. So I don't know what my future movie trivia endeavors will be. Maybe FCL, maybe dabble back in any of the fan leagues that'll have me. Maybe just not dealing with it anymore and just enjoying movies for the fun of it and not for studying. Who knows, guys? The world is my oyster.
What a concept. But yeah, I'm glad to hear that 2022 is off to a much better start for you as it is for me. Yeah, and this is going to be a very interesting experience throughout. This first one was a completely pure digesting the franchise with four movies we had never seen before, and we definitely had our own opinions here. I have somewhat of an idea with Die Hard of the first three, obviously, with both of us seeing them, but we're in uncharted waters after that. So finally seeing two movies I kind of sworn to never see, but that's part of the experience here, and looking forward to the next 12 months. And yeah, we're going to be up to 9 movies after 2 months here. So, you know, with digesting the force and digesting cinema, it was what, 63 movies total? Because it's 11 from Star Wars and then the 52. So we'll be keeping the track. We're going to be at 9 movies through 2 months. 63 is the goal, but we'll see if we saved ourselves work or made more by the end of it. But for Aaron, for Christina, keep digesting cinema out there and stay away from snakes. We hate snakes.
We hate snakes.